Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on daf Yud Amid Beis at the very bottom of the page of the two dots. Today's shir is sponsored once again by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Zechus Rufur Shalema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, Yishrev Rufur Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. On today's daf, we're going to start with a discussion of six different examples of people who sort of take the blame for things that they didn't do, or at least include themselves in a group of sinners in which they don't belong, just to save somebody else embarrassment. And we're going to describe how each one learned from a previous generation to have this hanhaga of tzidkus. Then the Gemara is going to discuss two people who were worthy of having the Ashras Hashchina, but and were described in their Hespedim as being Hei Chassid, Hei Anav, actually three people who were worthy of it, two of them who actually had such a Hesped, one of them never actually got such a Hesped, but was worthy of such a Hesped. And then the Gemara is going to get into the discussion of Ibur Hashana. We're going to describe how Ibur Hashana al Tanai can work, and valid and invalid reasons to be Ma'abir the Shana. The Gemara is going to describe the letter that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent to be Ma'abir the Shana, and make two points about the letter that he sent. First, in terms of how many days we add in the extra month, is it a 29-day month or a 30-month? And second, just about the tone of the letter when compared to the letter that Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken would send, whether the tone was one of more anivus or less anivus than Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three factors that are taken into account when deciding Ibur Hashana, and three lands, three different areas of Eretz Yisrael that are taken into account when deciding on Ibur Hashana. The Gemara is going to tell us that it's best to be Ma'abir the Shana in Yehuda, and there's a machlokas if it even works in Galil, meaning not only best, it may be Ma'akev to Dafka do it in Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to conclude by telling us that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Hashana should be done at day, and not only should be done at day, must be done at day, that they're invalid if done during the nighttime. So let's begin. Two dots at the bottom of the page. Zimin nasi tzarech kedi simin. Satan Rabbanan. Eima abrnes Hashana el b'nizum manin la. One can only be ma'abr d'shana with people who were invited to the party, who were invited to be the ma'abrim, to be the people that are chosen to be ma'abr d'shana. The reason for that is, the Rambam explains in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, is so that before they actually do the Ibur Hashana, they'll be able to figure it out on their own, and they'll be able to chazer over the dinim on their own to make sure that they're well versed. It's always better to be somewhat prepared and not to just be thrown into the discussion. So this way, they have from the time they get the invitation, they have a little bit of time to prepare themselves. And the Achron, the Sefer Torah Chaim, he writes that the dayan it's important for him to have a conversation with other people in order to get his mind right and to be able to or before he has a conversation with other people in order to be able to look into it. So we want him to have zman li'iyun vilina kodem she'eshev, that he should sleep on it a little bit, that it's not just something that he has to look up, but he has to, sometimes a person just has it in the back of his mind for a few days and he comes up with new ideas, new angles, so it's important for him to have that opportunity. So Maisa Rav Gamliel Shomar, one time Rav Gamliel said, Eshkimu li shivala aliyah, I want you to invite seven people to the aliyah. The aliyah is the attic or the second story where they were going to meet. Hishkimu matzah shmona, and he got there early and he went and he found that there were eight people that had showed up. Amar miu shala shalom birishus yered, he said, whoever came up shalom birishus should get out. I only invited seven. Amar Shmuel HaKatan v'amar aniu shalisi shalom birishus. Shmuel HaKatan said, I'm the one that came shalom birishus. V'lo la'abir hashana lisi elulma halach l'maisa l'tzrachti. I didn't come to be ma'abir d'shana, I came to learn halach l'maisa, meaning there was some other issue that I came to learn about, whether it be about Ibur Hashana or whether it be about some other shaila, and he heard that there was a group of very prominent rabbis that were going to be there to discuss the shaila with, but I didn't come to be Ma'abir Hashana, I wasn't trying to overstep. Amar lo shev b'ni shev, ru'yos kol hashanim kulan l'sabra al yadcha. You could sit down, all the years should be, you're ro'i that all the years should be nisaber through you. The only reason I got a little upset about this was that there is a halacha that you need someone to be invited in order to participate. And it happens to be, says the Gemara as a P.S., V'lo Shmuel HaKatan hava, Elina Shachrino, Machmas Kisufu David. Shmuel HaKatan was actually not the guilty party. He was not the one who came Shalom Bereshus. He didn't want to embarrass the person that did come Shalom Bereshus. The Rishonim are bothered by this story. If you need to have mizumanim la, you need to invite people. So Mistama, Rav Gamliel was the one that sent out the invitations. So if he's the one that sent out the invitations, and it was only 7 invitations, shouldn't he have been able to scan the room and immediately be able to identify who was the one that was Allah Shalobi Rishos? So why didn't he immediately identify the person and throw him out? And also, how could Shmuel HaKatan say, I'm the one that was Allah Shalobi Rishos? Rav Gamliel should be able to call his bluff immediately. No, I invited you. I remember inviting you. You're not the one that was Allah Shalom Birushos. So there are different approaches taken by the Rishon. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that Rav Gamliel knew exactly who the ones that were invited were. The Dayanim themselves didn't know who the 7 were, because each one got an invitation, but they didn't get a list of who the other people that were going to be invited were. So Rav Gamliel said, whoever is Allah Shalom Birushos, Yerid, without saying the person's name. Shmuel HaKata knew that the other Dayanim didn't know who was Allah Shalom Birushos. So to save that Dayan from embarrassment, he took it upon himself. Not because Rav Gamliel was going to be fooled by this, but at least the other Dayanim would not realize what was really going on. The Ran suggests that Rav Gamliel didn't invite anybody. Rav Gamliel sent a shaliach to invite people to be Ma'arba D'Shana. So he actually had no idea who was invited and who was not invited. According to the Ran, you have to figure out that if it was done by a shliach, why not just ask the shliach? I mean, when Gamliel wants to get to the bottom of it, why didn't he just ask the shliach? So it could be the Aruch Lener says, he assumed as soon as he says whoever was not invited should leave, he didn't need to go asking the shliach. The guy would leave. He didn't think that there would be an issue with this. Rabbeinu Chananel, the Yad Ramah, suggests a third approach. Then Gamliel said, let 7 people come to the Aliyah, and the usual suspects knew exactly who they were, and there were more than 7 possible people to go to Aliyah. And the reason they needed 7 is because we discussed yesterday how ultimately, even though it builds up, you may need 7 ultimately to be Ma'aber. And the idea was that the first 7 were going to be first come, first serve. The first 7 are going to be the ones that are going to be Ma'aber the Shana. By the time Rav Gamliel showed up, 8 people were already there, and he didn't know who the 8th one was. So it was almost the opposite of Rabbeinu Yonah, where Rabbeinu Yonah says Rav Gamliel knew exactly who the unauthorized person was, but the other Dayanim didn't. In this view, the other Dayanim knew exactly who the other person was, because it was the last guy there, but it was Rav Gamliel that didn't know. So it was to save the embarrassment in front of Rav Gamliel. The Achronim are also bothered by how Shmuel HaKatan could lie. That seems like a blatant lie. So the Pashup Shad is, you're allowed to lie in order to keep peace and in order to save someone embarrassment. L'chara is just as good as keeping peace. But the Ben Yoyada says, no, it wasn't a lie. He said, he didn't say all those words, because that would be a blatant lie. He must have said something that made it sound like he was the one that was Ola Shalob Rishos. The Gemara is paraphrasing, but he didn't say words of actual sheker. Well, what's the value of that? I mean, if you're going to give someone a false impression, and you're essentially, they're hearing a lie, whether you're saying words that are a lie or not, but we do have precedent for that. Anochi Esav B'Charecha, Rashi comments, Anochi Kama Esav B'Charecha, that Zalman Saraskin points out in Mazayim LaTorah, that the command in the Torah is Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that even when a person has to violate the Chosom Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu MS, a person has to violate the MS, at least Midvar Sheker Tirchak. At least stay away from words that are actual sheker, because a person should try to avoid words that are a blatant lie, even if he has to give something, give an impression that's not the correct impression. Says Gemara Vayter's second story. Kiyad Yosef Rabbi v'Kadarish ve'riach reach shum. Rabbi was darshening and someone stunk of garlic when Rabbi was giving his drasha. So Amar Mishachal Shum Yetze. So he said right away, whoever ate garlic, get out. They didn't invent Listerine strips yet, so you couldn't just hand one out. Just get out if you ate garlic. So Amar Rabbi Chiya v'yatza, amdu kulam v'yatza. Rabbi Chiya got up and he left, and then everyone got up and left. B'shachar matzah Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi l'Rabbi Chiya. The next morning, Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi's son, saw Rabbi Chiya. Amar le atahu shetziata li'aba. He said, I can't believe you're the one that caused my father such anguish. Amar lo, lo take his hospi soul. God forbid, I would never do such a thing. Rabbi Chiya mehecha gamla. Where Rabbi Chiya learned this? Well, that will be the next story. But before we get to the next story, Rashi explains, you're mitzara abba because you ate garlic. How could you be so inconsiderate and eat garlic when you're going to be in a public place? So the Masha raises the kasha. didn't Rabbi Shimon Rabbi catch on that it wasn't Rabbi Chiya? Meaning, once the story happened that they all left, didn't he realize that it obviously wasn't Rabbi Chiya and that Rabbi Chiya was just trying to save the other people from embarrassment? So that's what the Marsha points out. Of course he realized. And he wasn't saying Shetziyarta La'aba in the fact that you ate garlic, Shetziyarta La'aba that you cut his shear short. He wanted to teach Torah, and look at the bitul Torah that you caused when everyone left the shear. And the response is, Einachinami, but Chas Shalom lo tekezos b'Yisrael. I would never be mevatel Torah for no reason. This is a valid reason to save a single Jew, even a guilty Jew, from embarrassment. It's worth it to be mevatel the Torah. And these were people who did not take bitul Torah lightly. So Rabbi Chiya mehecha gamala. Where did Rabbi Chiya learn it from? Merabbi Meir. The Tanya Maisa b'Yishachas Shabbos the Beis Midrash Shlomo Meir. Amra la Rabbi Ech Mechem Kitshani Bibia. A woman came to the Beis Midrash Shlomo Meir and says, "One of you, one of the members of your yeshiva, was mekadish me with bia," which is, you know, it is one of the darkei kiddushin. It is one of the ways that work for kiddushin. But as one of my rebbeim once pointed out, it's not the yeshivish thing to do. It's not the right way to be mekadish. In fact, in later generations, they had to be manged among the mekadish bia. They gave malchus to people who were mekadish bia because it's not right. You're not supposed to. It's a derech pritzus to be mekadish bia. So she came with this accusation that one of you is mekadish bia. Amud Rameir v'kasav leget krisos v'nasalos. So Rameir right away wrote her a get krisos and gave it to her. Wrote her a get. Amdu kasvu kulam v'nasalah. So once the Rosh Hashiva did that, once Rameir did that, everyone in the Beis Medrash wrote a get krisos and gave it to her. So that was Rameir's hanaga, not to embarrass her. The Yosef Meach and the third paragraph of Gerishin raises a very interesting point. Rabbi Meir is a very important person in Maseches Gittin. In fact, the number one machlokas in Maseches Gittin is machlokas Rameir Rabbi Lazar about Edei Chasima Karti or Edei Mesira Karti. Rav Meir holds Edei Chasima Karti, that in order for a get to be kosher, the Edei Chasima need to be chosim the get lishma. What does it mean to be chosim the get lishma? To sign a get knowing that it's l'shem this isha and l'chara l'shem this man. So ask Seir Sameach, how is the get kosher? You don't have a chasima l'shma. Everyone realized that everyone was writing a get, even though only one of them was actually the husband. So whoever the Edim were that was signing the get, the other chevri yeshiva, they had no idea who the husband was. Isn't that a chisaron of chasima l'shma on the get? The Torah says v'kasav la l'shma. Rav Meir says v'kasav la means v'chasam la, that you have to be chosem l'shma. So that's what the Yerusha Meach explains, that when it says v'kasav la and we darshin v'chasam la l'shma, it means l'shma shel isha, and that's a din on the baal, that the baal has to be mekayim the din of l'shma. If the baal doesn't know who he's divorcing. For example, there are two women that have the exact same name, and he says to the sofer, to whichever one I choose, he's married to both of them, and he says to the sofer, write me a get for a woman of this name, and he hasn't yet decided which of his wives of that name he's going to divorce, so that's a chisaron of l'shma in the get. Because at the time of the Ksivas HaGet, he doesn't know who he's being omed l'garish. But if the Baal knows very well who the get is being written for, it's only the sofer or the edim that don't know. That's not a chisaron of l'shma, and it's not ma'akib dav. It's a great chiddush, because v'kasav la l'shma, v'chasam la l'shma, sounds like the people doing the ksiva and chasima have to have the lishma in mind. But the Yerusha Meach is mechadish that no, the Baal has to have the lishma, and the people doing the ksima and the chasima, they are just extensions of the ratzon of the Baal. Rav Meir mehecha garmelovayt in the Gemara. Where did Rav Meir learn this from? Mishmuel HaKatan. He learned this hanhaga from Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan mehecha garmelovayt. We already went through the story of Shmuel HaKatan. Where did Shmuel HaKatan learn this hanhaga from? Mishchanya ben Yechiel. Tichsev ayan Shchanya ben Yechiel mibnei Elam vayomer la'ezra anachnu ma'alnu be'elokeinu v'noshav nashim nachrios me'am ha'aretz v'ata yesh mikvah li'Yisrael alzos. That he said that he included himself in the group of people that married nashim nachrios, even though he was not one of the people that married nashim nachrios, but there was a group of people that violated this avera, and he included himself in the group when asking about how to do tshuva for this Savera, if there's still hope, if they get rid of these Nashim Nachrios, if there's still any hope for them. Vishchanya ben Yechiel Mehecha Gamarlam, where did he learn this Hanaga from? So, Me Yoshua, he learned it from Yoshua. Dichsev, Ayomer Hashem Le Yoshua, Kumlech, Lamaza Atanofal Alpanecha, Chati Yisrael. After the Jewish people lost the Battle of Ai, which really should have been an easy battle to win, especially after the resounding victory in Jericho, and Jericho is a fortified city, they thought that Ai would be a cakewalk, that Ai would be easy, and they lost the Battle of Ai, and Yoshua is dejected and he falls on his face, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yoshua, don't fall on your face, somebody sinned over here, there was a halacha that you were not allowed to take from the spoils of Yericho, because the Battle of Yericho was on Shabbos, so all the spoils were supposed to be muktash, you weren't allowed to take, and someone took spoils of Yericho for himself, and that's why you lost the Battle of Ai. So find your sinner. Amar lefanav ribono shel michata. So Yeshua says, who's the guy? Amar lo b'chidalitar anilach. Hatel garolos. Well, why should I be the one to tattle on the guy? I'm not going to tell you who the guy was. Do a garol and figure out who the guy was. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to embarrass the sinner. He didn't want to embarrass the guilty party. Now this isn't exactly like the other cases. This is not Yeshua volunteering to include himself, to either be blamed as the sinner, or to include himself in the category of sinners, but you see on some level that we try to save embarrassment even for a sinner, even though in this case it was ultimately going to come out. It wasn't even really saving the embarrassment. Ultimately, Achan was found and determined to be the sinner, and he was publicly humiliated, certainly humiliated, so it didn't really save him embarrassment, but of course Baruch Hu said, I don't have to be the one to do it, let it be done through a goral. And it's even less than that, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one to do it ultimately, because what's a goral if not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speaking through the garal? At least he's not doing it directly. He's not directly identifying the perpetrator. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim that a person who sees someone who does something terrible to somebody else, someone who steals, so he's allowed to tell the victim about what he saw in order to help the nigzal, in order to help the victim, and in order to be mevazeh the maisa that was done, that people should know that you run the risk of being embarrassed when you do such a maisa. But you have to be careful about a number of pratim, like the Chafetz Chaim always says, that even in the cases where there are tatum to speak Lashon Hara, you have to like go through the checklist of like all of all the qualifications that need to be checked off before you go ahead and speak to Lashon Hara. One of the pratim is that your goal should be to bring the to'eles that you're trying to achieve, and there should be no other way to achieve it. But if there's some other way to achieve this to'eles, then you're not allowed to do it in a direct way that's going to embarrass the guilty party. He's guilty, he brought it upon himself, he deserves it, all of that is true. Nevertheless, our responsibility, we learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chafetz Chaim brings it in the Bermayim Chaim, he says, the Raya is from our sugya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had every reason to expose Achan for who he was, but if there's some other way that it could be done through a girl, then do it through some other way, and don't do it directly. The sixth example, or the other possibility, second possibility of where they learned it from, was from Moshe Rabbeinu. D'chsiv, Adana Me'antem. That he says, Adana Me'antem, which is the gathering in of the man on Shabbos. The inclusion of more than just the sinner in taking guilt for the sinners. Rashi points out, kulan bechlal, varei kulan lo yatzu lil kot el miktsas. It wasn't all of them, it was some of them. But instead of singling out the guilty parties, you just speak in very general terms. The Marshal raises four questions about how to understand this entire sugya, and it leads to many different approaches to the sugya. Marshal asks, first of all, how could Shechaniah ben Yechiel have learned to include himself as if he had married an Isha Nachris from Yeshua? By Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did ultimately reveal who it was and did not suggest that Yeshua was the guilty party. Second, he says, even if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal to Yeshua who the guilty party was in order to not be Mevayish Achan, we still don't, all we see from here is not to embarrass someone else. But we don't see that you are supposed to embarrass yourself. No one ever embarrassed themselves in that case. Furthermore, he says, the story of Shechaniah ben Yechiel is just that Shechaniah ben Yechiel included himself together with the sinners. How does that teach about the other stories where the sinners got off scot-free? Because Shmuel HaKatan says, I'm the guilty party. And then the guy, Rabbi Chiya says, I'm the one that ate the garlic. And then everyone else gets off scot-free. And furthermore, why doesn't the Gemara just say, Bepashas, that if all of this could be derived from Moshe or Yeshua, Why go through these six stages? Just say they learned it from Moshe and Yeshua. So that leads the Achronim to a number of different approaches toward this sugya. At least with the last question, the reason to go through is very obvious, to show all these stories, that all of these hanhagos of great Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We always try to tell stories of tzaddikim to derive proper behavior. But the basic approach that the Achronim took is that you saw the basic kernel came in the days of Moshe Yeshua, but then the hanhaga was built up. They improved on the previous generation, so they learned from what they did and applied it to their own situations in an even broader way, and that was an acceptable thing and the proper thing to do. Tan Rabbanan, five lines into the wide lines. Mishmeisu Neviim Achronim Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Once the Neviim Achronim died, Nistalka Ruach Hakodesh miYisrael. Ruach Hakodesh was lost from the Jewish people. V'Afal Pikein Hayimishtamshin VeBaskol. But still, they would use a baskol even though Ruach Hakodesh was gone. What exactly is a baskol? It comes up a lot of times in Chazal. Tos Yantav writes, who call shenishtamshu bo la'achar shepaska nevua? It's this voice that they started using once nevua stopped. That's straight from our Gemara. Who call mechudosh l'shaito me'abaris baruch l'odia sidra li'reiv? And this is a call that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of invented after nevua was gone, as a way of letting his secrets be known to those who fear him. The lashon though is a little bit strange. Why is it called a bas kol? For example, some of the Acharim say, why not call it a ben kol? Or better yet, just call it a kol. What is a bas kol? So the Tosos points out that it's called a bas kol. He says Yesham Shlo Yesham Kol Yotzei Min Hashemayim El Mitoch Osei Kol Yotzei Kol Acher. It's like an echo. Kabapam Shadam Maka Bekoch V'Shemei Kol Acher Yotzei Menu L'Mirachok V'Osei Kol Yesham L'Kachor Noso Bas Kol. Unlike a Nevuah, which is a direct message from Shemayim, a bas kol was an echo of the message from Shemayim. They no longer were able to access the direct message from Shemayim, they were only able to access a secondary one, meaning the offspring of that message, and thus the name bas kol. It wasn't the original kol, it was the outgrowth of that kol. It was the kol that was yotze min hakol. The Rosh is quoted in the Shita that it's the kol yotze bimida, that not everyone could hear it. It was only, meaning normally, if I'm speaking in this room and I'm speaking loudly enough so everybody hears me. You don't have some people who hear me who are worthy of it and others who are not. The baskol is is only heard by those who are righteous enough to hear it. So it was given in measure. That Maritz Chayes points out, bas is a mida, it's a type of measure. You find that in Melachim Aleph, alpayim bas yachil, that bas is a type of measurement. So that's interesting. We don't think of baskol in that way, but baskol is a measured voice, a voice that's only heard by those who are predetermined to be able to hear it. The Tosyantav writes that since it's not mamash nevuah, it's only a dugma of nevuah, that's why they call it bas kol, which shows that it's lemata minevuah, that it's plus minevuah, very similar to what Tosos writes over here, that the echo, that it's not exactly the same thing. So pamach, one time they were sitting in the Aliyah Space Guria in Yericha, baskol came out and said, and then maybe or maybe not the Girsa Kim Moshe Rabbeinu, that there's someone here that's deserving of having the Hashras HaShchina, maybe even like Moshe Rabbeinu, El Shein Doro Zaka Lekach, but his generation doesn't deserve it. The Rav Chaim Shlavitz points out in Sichas Musar, he could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but it's the Zechus of Klal Yisrael that ultimately is going to cause the leaders to achieve the Milos that they hope to achieve. Person can be the greatest person ever, but if his Dor isn't Roy, he's not going to have that Ashras Hashchina. So Nasna, it's only in the Zechus of the people. So Nasna Chum Meseneim Behil HaZakein, the Chum all looked at Hil HaZakein as he's the one that they're talking about, the Echad that's right to have the Ashras Hashchina. Kshemeis, and when he died, Amrulav, Hey Chassid, Hey Anav, Talmid of Shal Ezra. They said, what a Chassid, what an Anav, he's a Talmud of Ezra. The Marshal points out that you can't have the words Kimosh Rabbeinu. You have to take out those words. But others have the gears of Kimosh Rabbeinu. What's the issue? So the issue is this a violation of one of the Ikarei Emunah, that Lo Kam Yisrael Kamosha, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was totally unique, no one else can achieve that level of Nevuah. When we are saying that he was right to have Hashras Hashchina, Kimosha Rabbeinu, so does that mean like Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answers for the gears are either that it doesn't say Nevuah, it says Hashras Hashchina, maybe there's some chilik between Hashras Hashchina and Nevuah, Or maybe we only have to believe that no one ever in fact had the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because no one else ever had a Dordea. But maybe there were people, very few, who were roi to have the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of their own personal tzidkus. But their door wasn't roi lekach. They never got to preside over a Dordea, and therefore they never in fact had the Nevuah of or the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe it would not be a violation of the Ikar of Lokum Bi Yisrael Kemosha Od to believe that that they said this about Hillel HaZaken. Marshall points out that the similarities between Hillel HaZaken and Moshe Rabbeinu are startling. Meaning, it's first of all, he says they both lived 120 years. They both led the Jewish people for 40 years. They were both described as Anav, as the greatest Anav, the most humble people of their generations. So it's not that surprising that they would have that they would be compared to each other. Shuv pamachasim sun baliyah biyavne. Another time they were sitting in the aliyah in Yavne, and v'nasa eleim baskel min hashemayim. Again, a baskel came out. Yesh kanecha choreish tishrael of shchina el shein dor zaka lekach. There's someone who deserves the shchina this time without the Moshe Rabbeinu, but his generation doesn't deserve it. Nasu chamas eneim b'shmul akatan. Everyone looked at Shmuel akatan as the one that they're talking about. Shemei sorma lav heichasri anav talmid shel Hillel, and when he died, they also said Echasreyanov, the Talmud of Hillel. Afhu Amar Bishas Misaso, and when he died, he revealed some secrets. And he said, Shimon v'Yishmael lecharba, that Shimon and Yishmael are going to be killed. They're going to be killed by the Malchus. Meaning Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha Kohen Gadol are going to be amongst the Aruge Malchus. V'chavroi lektala, and many of their other chaverim, they're going to be Asara Aruge Malchus. And he said, they're all going to be killed. V'shara melebiza, v'akon sagi nasid in the Mesa al Alma, terrible things are coming for the Jewish people. While Yehuda ben Bava bikshu lomar kein, when Yehuda ben Bava died, they wanted to say similar things about him. But they weren't able to do it because he was Haruge Malchus, and you can't say a hesped on Haruge Malchus. Why is it that you can't say a hesped on Haruge Malchus? The Adrama suggests either they were afraid of the Amos HaMalchus, that they're not going to allow them to bury him if you delay, so they want to bury him right away, or they were afraid that the Malchus would take offense to the covenant of the Malchus by giving a hesped for someone that the Malchus deemed should die, or they're worried about their own lives. They're worried that they're going to be accused of being sympathizers with people who rebelled against the Malchus, and then they're going to get killed themselves. Nafkamina might be what happens when not all these reasons apply. I mean, this is quoted La Halacha. The Torah quotes La Halacha in Yardei Sin Shin Rem Hei B'Shem the Ramban, that we don't say Aspedim on Haruge Malchus. So Beisosif says that's only when there's reason to have Yiras HaMelech. But if the Melech is not makvid about the Aspedim, he says, I got what I needed when I killed him, it's okay, you can give your Aspedim, then you're allowed to give Aspedim on Aruge Malchus. Tan Rabbanu. Now we move on to the discussion of Ibor Shana. Eima Abrinas HaShana Ela Im Kein Yirtza Nasi. You can only be Ma'abr the Shana with the permission of the Nasi. Ma'isim Gamliel Shalach Litol Roshos Eitzel Shul Tanach HaShem Suria. Gamliel once went to get Roshos by the government in Suria V'Shalav, and he delayed in returning V'Ibor Shana Almanaz Shears Rabbi Gamliel. So they were Ma'abr the Shana Al Tanai that Rabbi Gamliel was okay with it. Gamliel came back and he said, I approve. Nimse Shana Muberes. So the Shana was Muberes. Tanra, so you see that it was done al Tanai and it works. Where was the Azmana Mestami? He did Azmana before he left. He told them they can all go and work on it and that he would come in the last minute. Tanra Banan, Ein Mabrines Shana Lumkena Sitzricha Mibne Adrachim, Umne Gsharim, Umne Tanure Psachim, Umne Golios, Yisol Shanekrum, Mekoman Vadayan Lohigiu. Here are valid factors to take into account when being Mabr the Shana. If the roads have been destroyed by a rough winter and people aren't going to be able to be able to regel, or the bridges have been destroyed, or the tanuri psachim are still soaked so it's going to be difficult to roast your carbon pesach, or there are people that are traveling to try to make it to be able to regel but aren't going to make it on time, aval here are bad reasons that are not valid reasons to be ma'abr the shana. Lo mipnei ha'sheleg v'lo mipnei ha'tzina, not because of snow or cold, people should be able to brave the elements to come, v'lo mipnei galus yisrael shelo akrumim kamen, nor about about people who are planning on coming but didn't even start their journeys yet. You're not ma'abr the shana because the gedim and the tlaim that were born this year are still too small and they're not going to make for the most succulent karbanos Pesach. Nor if the birds are too little and they haven't had an opportunity to grow yet for the kinim that you're going to need for all the yoldos and zavim and whoever needs to bring kinim. But when the ma'abr the shana, if these factors were also applicable, they would include that in the letter when they would describe why they're being ma'abr the shana. It wasn't the actual reason, but it was good enough to warrant mention. Rabbi Yani or Rishum Gamliel. Rabbi Shum Gamliel used to send the letter out as follows: Modon anachnu l'chunda de guzlay rechichin veim raya darkin v'zimna daviva lamata. He would say, you know, the birds are not yet grown, the sheep are not yet grown, and the season is off. V'shaparta milsaban pay, and therefore I thought it appropriate v'osivus al shasad atlasin yomin to add 30 days to this year. So he mentioned all those factors, even though only the last one was really the reason to be marbed shana. So meisve kama ibra shana. But wait a second, he said I'm adding 30 days. How long is ibra shana? So shlosh yom. Tanakama says 30 days. Rishon Gamliel omer chodesh. Rishon Gamliel says astam chodesh, which is 29 days. So how come Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in his letter, he said I'm adding 30 days? So Amar Papa Ratzu Chodesh Ratzu Shloshim Yom. Either way, it could be 30 days or 29 days. Tachazi Ma'ika Ben Takifay Kadmai Lan Vasnasi Basrai. So just the Gemara says parenthetically, come take a look at the difference between the way Rabbi Gamliel, who is known to rule with an iron fist, and the way he would write his letter with such anivus, versus his grandson, versus his son Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was known to be much more of an anav, and yet he wrote in a much more in a much less humble way. D'tanya Ma'aser Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel is talking one side of Ma'aser Shiyosh v'gabi mal b'harabais. He was sitting by the harabais. V'yochan and sofar alaz omid l'fanav. V'shalosh igros chatuchos l'fanav. They had three parchments to write letters on. Munachos. So Amar lo tol igarta chadas. So he said, take one igeris ukasuv and write on it as follows: Lachana b'nei Galilai la lachana b'nei Galilai tasa. To all of our brothers in the Galilah Elyon and the Galilah Tachton. Shalom chun yaska. Shalom aleichem. Modin anachnu l'chundis man biura mata lafrushi masa mimatana dezesa. It came time for this man biur, so you have to make sure that you took off all your maisros from your olives. V'tol. So that's one, because they were the ones that grew olives in the Galil. Vitali Garta Chada, take another Igeres Vuksov and write Achana B'nei Deroma to all of our brothers in the south. Shlom Chun Yaska, Modin Anachal Chun Dizman Biur Ramata. Again, I'm letting you guys know that this man Biur has come. Nafrushim Asr Mim Rishiblaya. So make sure that your Maisos are all taken from the grain. Make sure you've already done your Chiyuv. Third letter, Vitali Garta Chada Uksov, Achana B'nei Gal Vasa Bibaba, Achana de Bimada Elishar Kol Galusa de Yisrael to all the people who live in Galus. Shlom Chun Yaskal Yolam, Yishalom Aleichem, Modin Anachal Chondu Guzlai Rechichin V'Imraya Arkin. I'm letting you know that the animals are very young, they're very small. V'Zimna Daviv Lomata, and also that the seasons are going to be off, that the springtime has not arrived. V'Shafra Milsa Ba'Anpayu Ba'Anpay Chavirai V'Osivis Al Shasada Yom Tlasin. And therefore it was good in my eyes and in the eyes of my Chavirim, and therefore we're adding 30 days to this year. So what's the point? That he didn't say it was good in my eyes. He said it was good in my eyes and the eyes of my chaverim. Even though he was supposed to be the takif, he was supposed to be the one that didn't rule with anivus, but yet the way the earlier generations would describe tkifus, we would describe it as anivus. That's the contrast. So says Gemara, maybe not. Dilma basar debruhu. Maybe he spoke by anivus because this was after the story that appears in Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Chav Ches, when Ram Gamliel, after causing Rabbi Yeshua Tsar on three different occasions, and the Rabbanim couldn't stand it anymore that he was causing all this Tsar, to Rabbi Yeshua that they fired him. And that was the story of Harani Kavenshim Shadr. Bozman Azariah was appointed as the Nasi at the age of 17 because they couldn't appoint Rabbi Yeshua, since that would rub salt in the wounds of Rim Gamliel, that his victim is going to be the one that gets his old job. They couldn't appoint Rabbi Akiva because he didn't have the yichus necessary to be appointed. So they had to appoint Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so as the Nasi. So that whole story, it was only after that story that he had this anivus to say, me and my chaverim. Why? Why after that story? So Machlokes Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says, Rabbi Gamliel minisiyusa nasa anav. He became a more humble person. He wasn't always so humble. He became a more humble person once he was humbled. The fact that he put Rabbi Yeshua through that series of exercises and all that humiliation showed that he wasn't so humble before. So now he became very humble. Says Tosus, no, it's not that he became more humble. It's that Peter says Tosus, Vailo Chaver, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Sheyunasi Imo. At the end of that story, the Gemara says they wanted to reinstate Rabbi Gamliel, but they couldn't fire Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He didn't do anything that deserved to be fired. So they had a rotation. So they were both in the Nesiim. They had a rotation. That's why they would say, Shabbos Shalmi Haisa. Whose Shabbos is it? Because only one of them took a turn on any given Shabbos. So it wasn't that he became more humble. It's that he had to say, me and my chaver. Because he had a chaver. It was a partnership in terms of being the Rosh Yeshiva. Very interesting point over here, though. Look at the message that he sent to them. He said, oh, there's a problem with the sheep, and that's why we're going to be Ma'arba the Shana. Now, granted, that was not the real reason. The real reason was because of the Ovid. But still, what did sheep have anything to do with why were they were with even being a factor in his time? It was after the Churban HaBayis. They weren't bringing Karbanos anymore. So why would he send such a nusach that the sheep are what they are? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a Chuvin, Shelis Yavitz, Chelchal, Sin Peites, says, Bedochak, you have to say that that was the old nusach, that they would have a certain nusach that they would send in the Igeres, that they would send out to Galus, that this is what we're going to do to be Ma'abr the Shana, and they kept that nusach even when it wasn't Shaykh anymore. That's one suggestion that he has. But then the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, hard to imagine that that's what they kept a nusach that didn't even make sense anymore. So he says, another possibility is that maybe you're allowed to be Makriv Karbanos Afal Pi She'ein Bayis. Whoa, that's a whole big topic. That over the years, over the centuries, has been debated over and over again, often by people who didn't even know what was going on in the Harabayis. They were so far from the Harabayis, they couldn't even imagine the Harabayis, but they were talking in theory, and others were talking Lemaisa, about trying to actually bring Karbanos on the Harabayis. Then the third possibility, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that maybe Mehiri Yibana HaMikdash, meaning, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt yet at the time that he's being Ma'abed Hashana, but he was still hopeful that it might be rebuilt in time for Pesach. So Mehiri Yibana HaMikdash, so he was talking as if they were going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's also an Hagat Tova we've learned over the years from our Gedolim, that we don't speak about the automatic eventuality. Oh, where are you going to be fasting next year, Tisha B'Av? I'm not going to be fasting next year, Tisha B'Av. Mehiri Yibana HaMikdash, we're planning for a Geula. There are three factors in being Ma'abar Hashana. Ala Aviv, Val Perosi Ilan, Val HaTkufa. The Aviv, the Perosi Ilan, and the Tkufa. The Aviv is a reference to the grain being ripened, and the Perosi Ilan, or the fruit trees being ripened, and the Tkufa is the seasons to be on the right track to make sure that Pesach comes in springtime. Two out of the three you need to be in place in order to be ma'aber the shanah. When aviv is the reason that they're being ma'aber, so everyone is happy because if aviv is not one of the reasons, it means the grain is ready, and yet they're still going to have to wait an extra month till the chadash becomes mutter, and that's a big hassle. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer al tkufa, that it was on the tkufa but it's not clear what he means. So yibaylu al tkufa smech. Does he mean that there were sameach about the tkufa, or that there were ma'aber based on the tkufa? So says Gemara Teku. We don't know what he meant. Yehuda ve'Varyad and Galil. There are three separate lands that they're ma'aber the shana. They take into consideration ma'aber shana. Yehuda ve'Varyad and Galil. Al shtayim and ma'abrin. Valachs man ain ma'abrin. For two out of the three, they'll be ma'aber. But if only one of them needs it, then they're not going to be ma'aber. Meaning the grain in one of them is not ripened. That's not good enough. Ubizman she Yehuda achas me'an hakol smechin. If Yehuda is one of them, since they needed to bring the Karban Omer from Yehuda, they'd be happy because they don't want the already ripened grain to dry out by the time they need to bring the Karban Omer. So if it actually serves the purpose of allowing the grain in Yehuda to be, everyone was happy about that. Shein Omer ba elam Yehuda, because the Omer can only come from Yehuda. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Shem Tanu Rabbanan tomorrow.